A ribbon of white stars flies toward a snowy mountain and forms an arching halo over its peak. A logo appears, Paramount, a Paramount Communications company. Now white handwritten titles appear. Paramount Pictures presents a Scott Rudin production, a Barry Sonnenfeld film. Nighttime, outside. Our view drifts over a group of cheery-faced carolers, all wearing colorful hats, scarves, and sweaters. Slowly, our view floats past the group toward an arched black front door. On it hangs a wreath of charcoal black ribbons. Our view rises up the front of the weathered mansion. Gray paint chips cling to the house's decaying wood. More titles appear. Angelica Houston, Raul Julia, Christopher Lloyd. Faint light glows in the narrow arched windows. On the roof of the mansion tower, a short, gray-haired witch and a tall, ghoulish man tip a heavy iron cauldron toward the edge as if to spill its steaming contents onto the carolers. A pudgy boy and a pale girl peer eagerly over the roof's edge. Their parents watch contentedly as the grinning witch and stooped man tip the pot over the edge. We float into its smoldering chamber. As smoke churns past, titles appear. The Addams Family. Elizabeth Wilson. Christina Ricci. Judith Molina. Dan Hedaya. Carol Stroykin. Paul Benedict. Christopher Hart. Dana Ivey. Jimmy Workman. Casting by David Rubin, CSA. Co-producer Jack Cummins. Costume designer Ruth Myers. Music by Mark Shaman. Edited by Dee Dee Allen, ACE, and Jim Miller. Production designed by Richard McDonald. Director of Photography Owen Roisman, ASC. Executive Director Graham Place, based on the characters created by Charles Addams, written by Carolyn Thompson and Larry Wilson, produced by Scott Rudin, directed by Barry Sonnenfeld. The title drops out of view. Now a dusty clock rests on a cobweb-covered dollhouse model of the mansion. From roof doors, on either side of the clock, a porcelain model of a raven-haired, slender woman rolls forward on a motorized track. She teeters toward the clock face, where she's greeted by a motorized porcelain model of a dapper, mustached man. With each chime, the man kisses the woman's cleavage. On the second floor, the pudgy boy tugs on a rope, yanking his sister up by a noose around her neck. The tall, ghoulish man sweeps the front step. At the uppermost tower, the scraggly old witch stirs her smoking cauldron. Just as the dollhouse doors slam shut, a human hand, unattached to a body, scampers out on all five fingers, cracks its knuckles, and leaps from the table. It trots down a long hallway and passes a man standing in a doorway. Its fingers skid to a halt. Delicately, the hand prances up to the man and tugs on his silk pants.
Think of it, thing. For 25 years, we've attempted to contact Fester in the great beyond, and for 25 years, nothing. I'm beginning to think my brother truly is lost.
Thing drums its fingers. The mustached man stares wistfully into a cluttered, cobweb-filled bedroom. Now a pale young girl with two black braids.
Don't be a baby. I know what I'm doing.
She raises an iron crossbow. Tied up, her brother stands with an apple in his mouth. She lets the arrow fly. Now the mustached man walks down an elegant set of steps and up another. Thing follows him like a puppy. Now the raven-haired woman lies asleep.
Look at her. I would die for her. I would kill for her. Either way, what bliss?
Slowly, her dark, almondine eyes flutter open. A faint smile creeps across her blood-red lips.
Unhappy, darling.
Oh, yes. Yes, completely.
Smiling, he removes his hat. Her coal black eyes twinkle against her chalk white skin. She reaches up and cups his face in her hand.
Gomez. Son, il me perce comme un poignard.
Oh, Tish. That's French.
Oui.
Cara mia.
He kisses her hand hungrily.
En garde, Monsieur Soleil!
With a sword, Gomez closes the blinds.
Gomez.
Querida.
Last night you were unhinged. You were like some desperate howling demon. You frightened me. Do it again.
Downstairs, the ghoulish man holds out a rustling lunch bag. The pale, solemn-faced girl, dressed in black, takes it.
Thank you, Lurch.
Her brother opens his lunch bag. He glances up at Lurch and follows his sister outside. Up on the second-story balcony, the willowy, raven-haired Morticia watches as Gomez swings a golf club. With a cigar in his mouth, Gomez glances at his wife. She lifts an eyebrow mysteriously. Gomez swings again. We follow the ball as it soars straight toward a neighbor's window. It lands in a man's cereal. Milk splashes all over his face. He staggers outside.
Damn you, Adams!
Sorry about the window, Judge. Keep the ball. I have a whole bucket full.
Gomez tosses his wood club. Thing catches it and flings it into his golf bag.
You moron!
Later, Morticia clips a fresh rose blossom from its stem.
It is a milestone, Tish. This very night, our 25th sales. All those years, gnawed by guilt, undone by woe, burning with uncertainty.
Don't torture yourself, Gomez. That's my job.
No, Tish.
Imagine, darling, if Fester did come back. Half alive, barely human, a rotting shell.
Don't tease.
She snips another blossom. A middle-aged couple approaches the gate. The spiked iron gate automatically opens, then closes on the man's overcoat.
Stop it! I'm warning you!
Thing, playing chess with Gomez, points toward a window. Morticia turns.
Look, darling, Tully is here.
Ah! Tully!
Romping with gate.
These are your last paying clients. May I remind you?
If it gives you pleasure.
Something has to. Like a decent coat. Something dressy for evening. Ask for a loan. Beg.
No loans. I am not a bum. Don't say it. I'll get the money. I have a plan.
This is all so humiliating. Why did I marry you?
Because I said yes.
I'm here to see Mrs. Adams about the charity auction.
Stop it!
Inside, a bearskin rug grips Tully's ankle in its teeth. Tully yanks away and sees a portrait painting of a bald man holding a lit candle. The flame goes out. He sees the title, Fester Adams, 1947 to question mark. Warily, Tully enters a room filled with antique swords and weapons and closes the doors behind him.
Ah, missed!
What's that?
Tully hurls his suitcase at Gomez's back. Gomez catches its handle with his sword and tosses it onto his desk.
Dirty pool, old man. I like it.
Tully grabs a sword stuck in the door, only inches from his head. He prowls toward Gomez. Artfully, Gomez spins and jousts with him, slashing Tully's suit twice.
Had enough?
Ha!
Gomez leaps past Tully with a flourish. Haggard, Tully swipes at Gomez, who ducks.
Where's my pen?
He knocks Tully's sword down.
Never mind. I'll take yours.
Gomez flings Tully's pen into the air, then back handsprings into a chair behind a desk. The pen and sword fall into his hands.
First, the old business!
Now, in the attic.
Charity auction, it's ridiculous.
The gray-haired witch.
Perhaps it's in here.
I don't think so.
Tully's wife tenses as Morticia opens a wardrobe. Lurch removes a long garment bag.
Uncle Knickknack's winter wardrobe.
The gray-haired woman tosses it. Morticia scans the tag on the next bag.
Uncle Knickknack's summer wardrobe. Uncle Knickknack.
Tully's wife gapes in horror, now downstairs.
The Fester Adams Offshore Retirement Fund? What would it do?
What wouldn't it do?
Fester, all tribute to thee. Some called him inhumanly evil.
No.
Only our parents. I called him brother.
And his memory must live on forever through money. I'm going to deposit the funds under my name for tax purposes.
That's inspired.
He would have wanted it that way. Beloved Fester.
A sword drops into Tully's hand.
Indeed! For Fester!
For Fester, a brother!
My brother!
One of a kind!
The doctors all said!
Kind to animals, so good with children.
They never proved anything.
$1 million is the perfect amount.
It's brilliant.
It's untraceable.
But Tully, it's not all business. He's going to have to wait. You know the rules better than that.
Why? But this is different. This is in my name. Make an exception.
Old business is old business, and new business is new business. And this is new business, and we do not discuss new business until...
He flips through a calendar with lightning speed.
Next quarter.
Next quarter.
Tully lunges at Gomez's empty chair.
Fine lunge, but you're riposte. A tad rusty.
Gomez tosses his sword. Thing catches it and slips it back into its sheath.
Make yourself comfortable, old man, while I get the money for the monthly expenses.
Gomez enters a library and closes the doors. With disheveled hair and a ragged coat, Tully crawls over to the doors. Parting them, he spies Gomez, who stands at a book-covered wall. As he pulls out a book, the bottom half of the wall revolves. Gomez ducks into the hidden chamber beyond. Now, in the attic, Thing jumps up and down.
There it is. Just what we've been searching for. Thank you, Thing.
Morticia brings an artifact to Tully's wife.
My God.
What is it?
A finger trap from the court of Emperor Wu.
It must be worth a fortune. Oh, Morticia, this is too extravagant. Even for the auction.
Let's keep it.
Hush, Mama. It's for charity. Widows and orphans. We need more of them. Margaret. About the seance tonight. I wish you'd come. It's Gomez. I'm terribly worried about him. He won't eat. He can't sleep. He keeps coughing up blood.
He coughs up blood?
Well, not like he used to.
Now Tully stands where Gomez stood.
Down, kitty!
Tully's eyes roam across the books. Hunching over, he gingerly pulls one out. The dusty cover reads, Gone with the Wind. He opens it. The skin on his face ripples as a fierce wind blows up from the pages. He slams it shut. Lurch watches nearby. Later. Gomez measures a plate of gold coins and dumps it into Tully's briefcase, already half filled with coins.
There. The monthly expenses.
Later, doubled over, Tully staggers into his office with his briefcase. He tosses his coat to one side.
Miss Bradbury! Miss Bradbury!
She's gone home, Mr. Alford.
Oh, Mrs. Craven! I was just about to call you.
I'm certain you were. You haven't met my son Gordon, have you, Mr. Alford?
Hello.
Gordon lumbers forward from behind the door.
Is this the one, Mother? That deadbeat you mentioned?
Gordon grabs Tully's collar.
No, but wait. Hold on. You have to listen to me.
Do we, Mr. Alford, and why?
Please, hear me out!
Gordon spins Tully upside down on the wall.
Please! You're cold, Mother.
Gordon and I enjoy a very special relationship.
She's a pip.
Refreshing, no? Down, Gordon.
Mother!
Gordon!
Hear me out!
We've lent you a considerable sum, many thousands of dollars. payment due?
I don't have the money to repay you. I tried everything.
Oh, Gordon, I want to believe him.
So do I.
Make me proud.
The pasty-faced Gordon grabs Tully and sweeps his desk clean with one arm. The suitcase falls and pops open. Ringed with black, Gordon's sunken eyes glitter.
He lied to us, Mother.
No, it's not what you think. Those are doubloons for the Adams account.
Adams?
Yeah, there's more. There's a fortune, but nobody can get to it. Don't you think I've tried?
Have you? Have you tried hard enough? Ask him, sweetheart.
No, sweetheart. Don't ask.
Staring at Gordon, Tully's eyes suddenly widen. He imagines the fleshy-faced Gordon bald. Grinning, Gordon flashes his rotting teeth. Gordon shoots his mother a puzzled frown. Nighttime. Rain beats down on the Adams mansion.
It's a miserable night.
I know, darling. Seance weather.
Children, we're starting.
Put down that antenna.
The kids clutch a TV antenna as lightning flashes overhead. In a motel, Mrs. Craven examines photos.
It's unbelievable, this hideous creature and my little boy.
Glaring at Tully, Gordon wolfs down a plate of spaghetti.
They could be twins.
But they're his family. What makes you think they'll fall for it?
You shave your head, we dress you up. No problem. They'll think he's Fester, the long-lost brother.
I hope so, Mr. Elford, for your sake.
Hey, I've been the Adams lawyer for years. They're morons.
Obviously. Now, what about the gold?
They got this vaulted somewhere.
I'm not sure.
That's a problem, isn't it?
Well, listen, Fester's been missing for 25 years. He and Gomez had some sort of a fight, and Gomez feels incredibly guilty about it. He'll tell you anything. Just ask. It's foolproof.
It had better be. Now get out.
It's going to be great. You're going to get back all the money I owe you and more. You'll see. Really.
This is it, Mother. The one we've been waiting for.
No more loan sharking. No more storefront scams.
I get the gold and we're gone.
And Tully takes the rap. Gordon, it's brilliant.
No, not Gordon.
Of course not.
Faster.
Later, Tully and Margaret enter the Adams mansion.
Big night for you guys, eh, small fry?
The pale girl stares coldly at him.
Hello, sweetheart. Could you?
Margaret holds out her fingers, caught in the ancient trap. The girl frees them.
Oh, thank God.
Welcome, honored guests. Entrails?
Granny, her frizzy hair tied in a black bow, offers them a plate. Lurch plays an organ while the guests sit around a table nearby.
Sing, O spirits. Hearken, all souls. Every year on this date, we offer a clarion called Fester Adams.
Stop it.
Pugsley.
The boy hands a meat cleaver to Gomez.
Kids.
From generation to generation, our beacon to the beyond. All close eyes and join hands.
Margaret shoots Tully a dubious glance, takes Granny's hand and closes her eyes.
Ow! What a grip! Ow!
Granny pulls away from Margaret. Her sleeve is empty. Unaware, Margaret holds Thing.
Excuse me.
Oh, okay, Pumpkin. Sit down. Join the fun.
Mama, you should know better. Thing, you're a handful. Wednesday.
Let us ransom you from the power of the grave. Tonight, O death, let us be your plague.
Mama.
Fester Adams, seoli cores ferrerima.
Granny rubs a crystal ball before her.
I feel that he's near. Fester Adams! Gather your strength and knock three times. Did you hear that?
Ask again, Mama, quickly.
By all means.
Ask.
Fester Adams, I demand that you knock again.
Ah! Fingers fluttering, Thing scurries across the floor, skidding as it turns. From Thing's perspective, we zoom over the hardwood floors. Thing crashes into the front door, then leaps up and opens it. Gordon, now bald, stands outside.
Could it be? Is it him?
Is it possible?
Oh, my God.
Gomez smiles warmly.
Fast. Gomez.
His lips locked in a thin, grim line, the bald Gordon stares at Gomez without expression. Gomez steps forward, his face softened with delight. Gomez kisses his cheek. Gordon's baggy brown eyes bulge. His mother approaches.
Good evening. I am Dr. Kinderschloss.
Later, in a parlor, Gordon stands before the family and the Alfords.
He was found in Miami, tangled in a tuna net. It was just last month, during the Hurricane Helga. The sky, it was black as pitch. The waves, they were walls of doom. Can you imagine? They drag him from the ocean, from the very jaws of oblivion.
Tendrils of smoke creep over Gordon's meaty shoulders.
Many tests. A complete psychological profile. At long last, the Florida Department of the Fish and the Game, they say, lo and behold, oh my, oh my, oh my, God tell it on the mountains. He is your brother.
Gomez sobs on Morticia's shoulder.
Boom! They give him to me at Human Services, and I am bringing him. After all these years, after who knows what heartache, after the naked and the dead, I am bringing him home to you. That's preposterous.
Isn't that the most ridiculous thing you've ever heard?
Awesome. It certainly is. Ah. Now you're back.
Yes, back. Back to share your joys, your sorrows, hey, everything.
Well, I just don't know.
How does this work again?
An infant would understand.
Margaret gets her fingers stuck in the finger trap.
Fester Adams, home at long last.
Well, at least for a week.
A week?
Don't be ridiculous. You're home. Sorry, but I have to get back. Got a lot of things cooking in the Bermuda Triangle.
Oh, Gomez. The Bermuda Triangle.
Devil's Island.
The black hole of Calcutta.
Excuse us.
Second honeymoon.
Pugsley breaks into Gordon's trunk.
Dr. Pinderschloss, will you be staying with us too?
No, I must be going, but I will be back, you can bet, to be checking on Fester's adjustment.
A fox trap on Pugsley's wrist.
Nobody gets out of the Bermuda Triangle, not even for a vacation. Everyone knows that.
Oh, my little bun, there's so much you don't understand. The human spirit, it is a hard thing to kill.
Even with a chainsaw.
Later, in Fester's dusty, cluttered bedroom, Gordon opens the trunk and pulls out a chainsaw. Morticia opens the door.
Unpacking? Let me.
It's all right. I can do it.
Crowbar.
Gordon grabs it from her. Grimacing, he grabs the dynamite. Morticia pulls out a small bottle. Behind her, Gordon's eyes bulge with panic.
Cyanide.
She spins to face him.
Fester. As if we'd run out.
Gordon's mouth trembles. He frowns with confusion.
Good night.
Still quivering, Gordon's anxious gaze follows her out. She shoots him a sultry glance. Gripping the dynamite, crowbar, and poison, Gordon sets it into his trunk and slams it shut. He rushes over to another closed door and listens intently. A human skeleton hangs on the door beside him. Cracking the door ajar, he peeks out. He smiles suddenly as he sees the pale young girl staring gravely at him, her hands clasped. His smile vanishes. She cocks an eyebrow at him. He shuts the door.
Nosy little brat.
He grabs a framed photo. In it, a young Gomez and young Fester crouch in cages at Camp Custer. Gordon picks up a tarnished double frame of a pair of twins, each a pretty young woman. The names Flora on the left and Fauna on the right are embossed below each portrait. Gordon studies the photos. He sets the double frame back on a bureau top and slowly turns the handle on the door. He pulls it open and peers out. On the girl's doorknob hangs a headless rag doll. Wincing, Gordon closes the door. He turns off the dim lights and lumbers over to his bed. Three candles burn beside the lumpy mattress, draped with a musty patchwork quilt. Eyes bulging, Gordon turns his back to the bed and falls backward. A cloud of dust billows up as he sinks deep into the mattress, which nearly swallows him up. His brown-lidded eyes close peacefully as he drifts off to sleep. His eyes spring open. His bedroom door swings open a crack. Sitting up, Gordon reaches for a knife in his boot. His window shutters fly open. Two of the candles blow out. Shaking with fright, Gordon takes the remaining candle and lights the other two. The whites of his eyes gleam as he sits up, holding the candelabra, and scans his shadowy room. Thing scampers up and grabs his knee. Now Gomez and Morticia lie in bed awake.
My own dear brother. I've got goosebumps.
I know.
Screams in the night. It can only mean one thing.
He's home.
Blue lightning flashes, lighting up the Stark Adams mansion. Daytime. The sun shines gently on the angular house. Inside, Gordon's mouth twitches in sleep. He wears his black overcoat. Our view creeps down his belly, where he rests his hand. Thing sleeps right beside Gordon's hand. Gomez stands at the bedside, gazing adoringly at Gordon. He gently lifts Thing from Gordon's belly. Gordon tackles him with a knife to his throat.
Breakfast?
Gomez throws Gordon over his shoulder.
Damn, it's good to have you back. Let's go.
Gordon remains on the floor, bewildered.
2 out of 3?
Gomez flings Gordon's knife within an inch of his face. Now in the kitchen.
Home cooking! There's nothing like it in the world.
May I have the salt?
Gordon eagerly reaches for it.
What do we say?
Gordon falters.
Now.
He hands her the salt. Granny spoons glistening lizard-like food onto Gordon's plate. He leans over his plate, brow creased in horror.
What is this?
Mama's spécialité de la maison.
Oh, Tish.
Gomez kisses her hand ardently.
Start with the eyes.
Did you sleep well?
Like the dead.
Really? Who would have thought the Bermuda Triangle could change a man so much? You used to toss and turn all night. We had to chain you to the bedpost.
Doesn't make sense.
The Bermuda Triangle is a very strange and mysterious place. You'd be surprised at all the things you don't know.
She certainly would. Wednesday adores the Bermuda Triangle. She studies it. Death at sea. She's hooked.
Ask me anything.
Being in my old room sure brings back memories. Remember Camp Custer?
For preteen offenders.
A blast of fire from the stove.
Oh!
Heart memories precious. Today I like to wander through the house, remembering.
No, sorry, old man. No wandering today. Today we're going straight to the vault.
Pugsley enters carrying a stop sign. Gomez motions for silence.
Bravo, Pugsley!
Later, in the library, Gomez and Gordon find the book, which triggers the revolving wall.
Greed!
Gomez pulls the book. The wall revolves, and they enter a hidden passageway.
I feel like we're children again. Hey, you're it!
Gomez tugs one of dozens of iron manacles which hang from the ceiling. In a smoke-filled chamber, they slide down a rickety chute lined with white carnival lights. Gordon's eyes bulge as he grimaces with terror. Briefly, Gordon and Gomez turn upside down, zooming down the twisting and turning slide. Lights zip past in a blur.
Smell that air, Fester!
Now, on a dock, Gordon clutches at his chest.
Like a tomb.
Gomez hops into a small gondola.
Tutti a bordo, fratello mio!
The sea, your second home. Ship ahoy!
Gordon climbs on board. Gomez winds up a phonograph, dons a hat, and pushes them off from the dock with a long staff. They leave the slide and dock behind. Now Wednesday rigs an electric chair.
Do you think that's really Uncle Fester?
Father says so, but I think Mother isn't sure.
Pugsley decapitates a doll with a model guillotine.
Pugsley, sit in the chair.
Why?
So we can play a game.
Pugsley tromps over to a throne-sized wired chair and sits in it.
What game?
She straps him in.
It's called... Is There a God?
She stares at him intensely. In a cavernous, vaulted chamber underground, Gomez guides the gondola past columns lit with burning torches. A veil of mist hovers above the water. They approach a soaring facade with level after level of arches and columns. They dock at the vault's entrance on the ground level of the majestic facade.
The vault!
Two to the right, 10 to the left, and then around to...
5.
11. 2, 10, 11. Eyes, fingers, toes.
So many years.
Gomez opens the door. With his hand on Gordon's shoulder, they enter. Eyes shifting, Gordon frowns with disappointment.
Welcome back.
Thanks.
Our secret place. Sanctus Sanctorum. If these walls could speak, hey, old man?
What would they say?
You tell me.
You first.
Senior partner.
Junior spaceman.
Gomez flashes a puzzled smile.
First a brandy. Do the honors. I've got a real treat in store.
Where is it, you ridiculous imbecile?
As Gomez rummages through a crate of old films, Gordon steals a small bottle from a bar across the room. He uncorks a decanter of brandy. He activates another hidden door. The room behind Gordon revolves around, and he finds himself in a palatial chamber flooded with brilliant light. Endless halls reach into the distance. Gordon turns around, his mouth agape. Piles of sparkling gold coins, jewels, and treasure fill the halls. Gomez, still rummaging, beats the box of film with a bowling pin. As Gordon reaches out for a pile of coins, the room revolves, returning him. Gomez finds a reel.
Showtime!
Holding huge brandy snifters and cigars, they watch old movies of Fester and Gomez as boys, creeping toward a lake with sharks' fins strapped to their backs. Children play on a nearby raft unaware. Distracted, Gordon glances back at the revolving wall. On screen, young, bald Fester faces us with a box of dynamite. The two boys approach the lake. Gordon's brow quivers as he sees footage of the boys as teenagers at a ball. They approach a pair of twins.
There, the debutante ball. Remember that fateful night?
Gordon's eyes shift nervously.
Of course.
The young men dance with the Siamese twins, who are joined at the shoulder.
Your first cigar!
What? Come on, old man. I smoked since I was 5. Mother insisted.
Flora and Fauna! Quite the pair. Gomez.
Can you ever forgive me?
What?
I didn't love them. Yet I wooed them both out of foolish pride. You were so dashing, you could have any woman you wanted, dead or alive. I was jealous. Insanely jealous. I admit that now.
Gomez turns off the projector.
But I did not mean to drive you off. Not to the Bermuda Triangle.
Water under the bridge. Forgiven, forgotten.
Gomez's face brightens with happiness. He hugs Gordon tightly, then chokes him with a vicious headlock.
Come on, say it. Say the secret password.
Password?
Come on, stop fooling. You remember?
You forgot our secret password? The word we used 100 times a day? Our special private name for each other?
That was a long time ago when we were children. You almost killed me. You demented freak.
Poor devil, what did they do to you in that Bermuda Triangle?
But if he's not Uncle Fester, then who is he? Somebody else.
In the attic, Wednesday steps up to a fuse box.
It has to warm up.
Why?
So it can kill you. I knew that.
Children, what are you doing?
I'm going to electrocute him.
But we're late for the charity auction.
But Mother...
I said no.
Please?
Oh, all right.
Pugsley beams. Wednesday throws the final switch. Blue light flashes across Morticia's loving smile and Wednesday's maniacal grin. Later.
This magnificent piece is encrusted with rubies and 15 emerald chips. It was donated by Morticia and Gomez Adams. Remember, this year over half our proceeds will benefit the elderly and the mentally disabled.
Granny grins.
I'll open the bidding at $5,000.
Not good enough. 20,000!
What are they doing?
I have 20.
25!
25. 30.
35! It is divine.
50.
I have $50,000.
Your turn, my ecstasy.
50,000 going
Gomez
once.
Ravenously kisses 50, up Morticia's arm.
Twice. Sold to Morticia Adams for $50,000.
Later, Lurch drives their black convertible Rolls-Royce down a city street. Gordon sits with his fingers locked in the tube-shaped finger trap.
Isn't it too enchanting?
How do you take it off?
Gomez and Morticia exchange a look.
There's a trick to it.
Suspicious, she snaps it off.
Of course.
Gomez frowns pensively into space. Wednesday eyes Gordon dubiously. Later, a model train catapults toward us.
How do you take it off? That's absurd! That finger trap was a party favorite at his 10th birthday!
In Pugsley's room, Morticia and the children look up from their bedtime story.
Oh, no.
Father's playing with his trains.
He wore that finger trap for 2 years! Mother had to teach him to eat with his feet! And the combination! And the password! And my cigar! And he slept so well!
He pushes a power lever. The toy train zooms forward.
He's using the diesel.
In his room, Gordon grabs his dynamite and fits it into a tool belt slung over his shoulder. He tosses the crowbar and catches it firmly.
The covered bridge.
Puffing smoke, the train barrels through the quaking model.
Dead man's curve.
Granny frowns warily at the trembling kitchen ceiling, then returns to a cookbook titled Grey's Anatomy. In the library, Gordon pulls the book titled Greed. He ducks into the hidden tunnel. Chomping on a cigar and perspiring heavily, Gomez darts his bulging-eyed gaze over the train set. Gordon runs down the tunnel to the hanging manacles. Nibbling a fingernail, his eyes brighten as he selects a chain. He squeezes his eyes shut, then pulls. A crude iron hand clamps over his and yanks him upward. In the model train, a miniature passenger glances up from his newspaper to see Gomez's leering gaze. Gordon speeds uncontrollably down a ramp. Now in Pugsley's bedroom.
It's all about Uncle Fester, isn't it?
Lizards scatter as Gordon sinks headfirst through an enormous tube-shaped fish tank. Two of the trains come within inches of slamming into each other.
Spirits above me, give me a sign. Shall I be joyous or shall I be damned?
The two trains collide in flames. Drenched, Gordon spills onto the grass outside, through Pugsley's dump chute. A few fish flip and writhe around him. Wearing a black hooded cloak, Morticia stands in the shadows.
Sleepless night.
Blue-faced, Gordon belches water.
Walk with me, Fester.
She turns from him. Gordon sits up, grimacing. They stroll through a graveyard.
Aunt Laborgia, executed by a firing squad.
a statue full of holes.
Cousin Fledge, worn limb from limb by four wild horses.
An armless statue.
Darling Uncle Imar. Buried alive. Psychopaths, fiends, mad dog killers, Roots Fester, pioneers, lest we forget.
Gordon gapes.
Your beloved Muerto. After you left, he was simply a different vulture. He wouldn't circle. He wouldn't peck. That's how much you mean to this family.
Gordon gazes fearfully at Morticia. She shoots him a forbidding look. Another tomb.
Mother and Father Adams. How I wish the children could have known them better. But tell that to an angry mom.
Gordon touches his breast and gasps.
And our credo, sic gorgiamus allos subjectatos nunc. We gladly feast on those who would subdue us. Not just pretty words. As an Adams, you understand completely, don't you?
Gordon trembles.
As an Adams, yes, I do.
She cocks an eyebrow at him.
Good night, Fester.
She brushes past him.
Rest in peace.
Mouth agape, the pallid Gordon shivers as Morticia leaves him standing alone in the sculpture-filled graveyard. Later.
They're on to me, Mother. I'm almost sure. Of course I tried. I still can't find it. You've got to get over here. Don't say that. You know I do.
Morning in the kitchen.
These trains are everywhere. The children are beside themselves. Is that for your brother? I don't think so.
Morticia takes a kitchen knife from Wednesday and gives her an enormous meat cleaver. She turns back to Granny.
This can't go on. How can I help him? Tell me, Mama.
Granny consults a large, dusty book.
Troubled husbands. Adultery?
Oh, no.
Financial money troubles.
No.
Turned into toad or reptile.
Is there an index?
Listening, Lurch shakes his head.
They know I'm a fraud. The whole bunch. It's not going to work.
Who knows? Gomez, that overheated moron.
He's no moron. He's Fester's brother. They had some awful fight years ago. He's suspicious, they all are. I could tell.
Really? Well, thank God I came over here. I will counsel the troubled family, ease their distress. It's my calling, remember, Gordon?
What?
I'm a doctor.
Later in the parlor.
Why don't you speak to Fester, darling? He's right outside the door.
I would speak with Fester if that were Fester, but that is not! That's an impostor! An impostore!
Eavesdropping at the door, Gordon stumbles away. He rushes upstairs, pauses at the upper landing, and peers over the railing. Below, Wednesday and Pugsley joust with swords.
Oh, villain, villain, smiling, damned villain.
Who calls me a villain? Break my pate of
fire. Gotcha.
Plucks off my beard and blows it in my face.
If I must strike you dead, I will.
Pugsley mock stabs her. Arms outspread, Wednesday staggers backward up the steps and sinks onto her back. She goes limp.
No! 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 Give me that sword! Haven't you ever slaughtered anyone?
He's only a child.
No excuse! Aim for a major artery. That juggler! A faker! A phony! An utter fraud! A base, deceitful...
Mr. Adams! I believe I'm understanding. I can help. Jess? The theory of displacement. Is this familiar?
No. Tish?
Oh, it is too exciting. I will explain.
Is it unpleasant?
Deeply.
Gomez rushes to Morticia's side.
Your very own brother. You drive him away. Go. Off with you.
But then you are feeling the little black monster.
Pugsley.
Guilt. Yes? Your brother returns, you feel guilty, you displace.
I do?
The feelings in your brain cells, they bubble and collide. You suspect things. You love him, but you resent him. Love, hate, hate, love. Like for Mama, no?
But I didn't hate my mother. It was an accident.
It's a very common psychosis. I'm seeing it every day.
Lucky doctor.
Displacement. How bizarre. And here I thought Fester was the problem. He's sullen.
He's furtive.
Backstabbing.
He sulks.
I suspect him.
You're unbalanced.
And I hate him. By God, you're right! He is Fester!
Thank you, Dr. Pinterschloss.
I do what I can.
You see, children, there's lots to learn.
Later, Gordon turns a page from a book titled Wounds, Scars, and Gouges.
Gangrene.
Uncle Fester, how do you know so much?
I've been around and picked things up.
In the Bermuda Triangle?
Look, children, a new chapter.
Scats.
Later in the driveway. An explosion of gravel.
3 parts dynamite with a nitroglycerin cap. It's perfect for small holes, carports, and tool sheds.
Pugsley and Wednesday listen eagerly. Mrs. Craven spies them from the house, later in Fester's room.
Mother!
Everyone will be at the children's play tonight, correct?
Oh, yes. I've been working with them. It's going to be fun!
Fun? Is that what we're here for? Fun!
Oh, darling, forgive me. You see what they've driven me to? I've raised a hand to my child, my reason for living. You can't go to the play.
But the kids...
The house will be deserted. The vault will be ours.
But, Mother...
She pulls him to her breast.
Can you hear it, my treasure? My heart it beats only for you. Listen closely. It says, Gordon, I love you, Gordon, the vault.
I do hear it.
Soon we'll have the money. And we'll be far from here. Loving mother. Grateful son. Understood?
Nighttime. On the balcony, Gordon stares out into space.
There you are at last. What a fool I was to doubt you. Dr. Pinderschloss explained everything. What a lovely woman, so chilly. Displacement. It's a common psychosis. Isn't that grand?
Is it?
Look at it, Fester. The primeval ooze. Quicksand, fumes, toxic waste. It's all ours, Fester. You belong here, old man. Stay.
You don't know what you're asking. You have a beautiful wife, wonderful children, a wasteland. I'm in the way.
In the way? My brother?
Gomez, take care! For you, life is all fun and games. Dance in a graveyard, stench, decay. But things change.
Precisely. You're back. All those years apart, Fester. We can't do that again.
Gomez rests his head briefly on Gordon's shoulder.
You're home.
Thing hands a golf club to Gomez, who hands it to Gordon. Eyes bulging with emotion, Gordon accepts the club. Gomez takes his own club and sets a dingy ball on a tee for Gordon, while Thing acts as a tee for Gomez. Standing opposite one another, they prepare their shots. They exchange a glance and swing.
Four!
Later, the children march up to Fester's door.
Uncle Fester? Come on, Uncle Fester. Come to the play.
I said I was busy.
But you said you'd help us. With the Shakespeare and the pus.
I changed my mind!
Gordon chokes back sobs. Shoulders slumped with disappointment, the children trudge away. Later, Lurch steers the black rolls to their school entrance, where parents file in. The Adams family enters. A pert, wholesome-faced woman approaches.
Mrs. Adams, can I see you for a moment? I'm Susan Firkins. I'm Wednesday's teacher.
Oh, of course, Miss Firkins. Wednesday's told us so much about you.
At the mansion, Gordon tinkers with electric wires. Small bursts of flame erupt as he pokes and prods. Back at school.
Wednesday is an excellent student, but frankly, I'm concerned. You see, this is our class bulletin board. This month, our theme is our heroes, people we love and admire. You see, Susan Ringo has chosen the president. Isn't that sweet? And Harmony Feld has picked Jane Pauley.
Have you spoken to her parents?
But Wednesday brought in this picture, Calpurnia Adams.
Wednesday's great aunt Calpurnia. She was burned as a witch in 1706. They say she danced naked in the town square and enslaved a minister.
Really?
Oh, yes. Don't worry. We've told Wednesday, college first.
Isn't he adorable?
Margaret.
I made this myself.
It's charming. What is he, a lizard?
An elf.
She turns her son around.
Look at you.
She licks a napkin and wipes off his face. He winces. Morticia and Gomez exchange a glance.
That's better. You are too precious for words. Why, I could just eat you alive.
Oh, no, Margaret. Too young.
Margaret's toothy grin vanishes. Later, a row of children dressed as colorful flowers stands on stage, facing their parents in the audience. Granny rolls her eyes. Morticia and Gomez exchange a bored glance. Judge Womack's mouth twitches with pride. Morticia rests her chin on her hand, cocking an eyebrow in irritation. Gomez blinks drowsily. Now backstage.
Wednesday! Pugsley! I changed my mind.
He tosses a bundle.
Uncle Fester!
Grinning from ear to ear, Gordon flees. Pugsley pulls a fake arm from the bundle.
Gordon? Gordon? It's Mother!
Outside the mansion.
Damn it, where is he? I never should have used him.
Back at school, Gordon shuffles past Morticia and Gomez to an empty seat beside Gomez.
I knew you couldn't stay away, old man.
The children wave their arms after their music teacher. Gordon watches with a grimace plastered on his face. Now, Mrs. Craven tramps along a vine-covered wall.
Are you there? Gordon?
Two vines reach out and encircle her ankles. Vines wrap around her torso. She falls to the ground. The gnarled vines drag her toward the house. Now Pugsley and Wednesday on stage.
How all occasions do inform against me and spur my go revenge. Oh, from this time forth, my thoughts be bloody or nothing worth. If I must strike you dead, I will.
Pugsley slashes her. Red paint showers from her wrist.
A hit! A very powerful hit!
Their parents watch proudly. Wednesday spears Pugsley's elbow. The fake arm drops off. Red paint gushes out. She turns toward the audience, spraying the front row with fake blood from her neck.
Oh, proud death! What feast is torn in thine eternal cells? Sweet oblivion! Open your arms!
Red paint floods the stage. As Wednesday gags, disgruntled parents try to wipe themselves of her steady stream of fake blood. She slumps forward. Stunned, the drenched audience gapes. The Adamses leap to their feet.
Bravo! Bravo!
Still spurting blood, Pugsley and Wednesday bow. Soaked, Tully watches with a slack jaw. Margaret glowers. Later.
There were sailors, pirates, and a plane full of tourists from Miami Beach. All lost in the triangle.
Uncle Fester? Will you take me there someday?
It's a promise. Good night, Wednesday.
Good night.
You were terrific.
He kisses her broad forehead.
Uncle Fester?
She reaches under the covers and pulls out a headless doll of herself. He kisses the stump of its neck. She uncovers the doll's detached head and hands it to him. He kisses it, then pats Wednesday's head affectionately and leaves. She crosses her arms solemnly over her chest and closes her eyes to sleep. Now in the graveyard.
Theatrical triumph. It's like a dream. When we first met, it was an evening much like this. Magic in the air. A boy.
A girl.
An open grave. It was my first funeral.
You were so beautiful. Pale and mysterious. No one even looked at the corpse.
Your cousin Balthazar. You were still a suspect. I couldn't stop staring at you all through the eulogy. Your eyes. Your mustache.
You bewitched me. I proposed that very night.
Just think. Someday we'll be buried here. Side by side, 6 feet under, in matching coffins. Our lifeless bodies rotting together for all eternity.
Cara mia.
They kiss ravenously on a stone couch. Gomez envelops her in his arms. A series of graveyard sculptures. Pulling a bowstring, a cupid's arm pokes up from a bush. A fork-headed man sits next to his spoon-headed wife. A man with rippling muscles. 3 bald heads on top of one another like a totem of gargoyles. Morning. Lurch ambles through Morticia's greenhouse, spraying her dead plants with dust.
Hey, Bigfoot!
Lurch frowns curiously at a life-sized vine-covered cocoon before him.
Don't stare. Just get me out.
Lurch studies Mrs. Craven, perplexed. In the kitchen, Pugsley eats beside Gordon.
Did you like the blood?
I was so proud.
Weren't we all? Wednesday, play with your food.
Wednesday stabs at a shifting goopy mass in her bowl.
Mama,
who put this in here?
A skeletal leg from her cauldron.
That's for company.
Rascals. Doctor, you were so right. What an evening.
Fester fit right in.
The displacement is over.
Well, isn't that nice?
Does he really have to go?
Yes, he does.
Well, if he insists upon leaving, we shall mark the occasion. Tish?
We've planned a farewell party.
We've invited the entire clan.
Ah, what a lovely gesture.
We're a family again, and we owe it all to you, Dr. Pinterschloss.
Please. Greta. Vesta, walk me out.
Smiling nervously, he follows her outside.
I'm fine, Mother! I'm completely in control.
They're not your family, Gordon. I am. They don't love you. I do. They're evil and corrupt and degraded. I can give you that.
But fine. Really?
We'll see. Open up!
Gate swings open. She storms out. Gordon winces anxiously. Dusk. Golden light glows in the windows of the Adams Mansion, which looms against an azure sky. Led by Lurch, each member of the family ascends the staircase. All but Gomez and Morticia hold candelabras with burning candles. Gomez opens doors to a sprawling ballroom filled with sheet-covered chandeliers and furniture. Gordon wanders in.
A pie for me. Here.
As his awestruck gaze roams the mural-covered walls and high ceilings, Gordon gapes with delight.
Tish. How long has it been since we've waltzed?
Oh, Gomez.
He gently whirls her around and pulls her close.
Hours.
Gazing amorously into each other's eyes, they spin across the ballroom floor in a slow, graceful waltz. As they pass Gordon, Gomez kisses Morticia's hand. Her spidery black dress clings snugly to her lithe body. Gomez wears a red and black striped suit. As she dips backward, she grabs a dust cover. With a yank of the dust cover, the ballroom transforms. Dozens of ashen guests in elaborate costumes waltz enthusiastically through the brightly lit ballroom. Gomez and Morticia waltz in the center of the ballroom, both wearing black. A pallid, turbaned man plays a cobra with cleft marks branded into its hood. As his fingers tap the cobra's narrow body, the snake opens its fanged mouth. A gangly, hunchbacked teenager dances with Wednesday, only half his size. Outside, Lurch greets a puny, single-seated car. A short, featureless man covered with ankle-length hair climbs out, wearing only a spiderweb derby hat. Lurch smiles.
It, old man!
The wig-like man bows.
You're right, far too long.
Cousin It notices Margaret waltzing with Tully and rushes toward her.
Don't let me out of your sight.
Don't threaten me, Margaret.
These people are abnormal.
Don't exaggerate.
Cousin It butts Margaret with the top of his head. Aghast, she cringes.
Oh, by all means. They're clients, Margaret.
Tully waves smugly as Margaret and Cousin It spin away. Towering over her, Wednesday's skinny partner swings her back and forth.
Wednesday?
Yes, Mother?
Would you run upstairs and check on your uncle, please?
She jerks away from the boy.
Why, Lumpy Adams, look at you. All grown up.
Sporting a mohawk bouffant, the gray-lipped teenager beams. Wednesday climbs upstairs wearing a full-length black gown. She approaches Fester's door.
Uncle Fester?
She tiptoes in.
It's not going to be easy. There are people everywhere.
You can do it if you just stop whining. Nobody likes that. It's unattractive.
All right. Fine. I will try and reach the vault tonight. But if I can't, well, then that's it. Okay, Mother?
I knew it. You are a fake.
Come here, my little one.
Wednesday!
Get her!
From the end of the hallway, we see Wednesday flee into a room. Gordon runs into her slammed door and staggers dazedly. He turns and kicks open her bedroom door. Wednesday escapes through a trap door in the floor. He claws at its edges. She emerges outside through her dump chute and bolts. With shaving cream still smeared on his bald head, Gordon stomps on the floor. He flings open a window and peers outside. Wednesday scampers through the graveyard. She pauses in a clearing, then dashes off. Gordon arrives at the clearing, turning spastically in every direction. He grabs his head in frustration. Now inside.
Flora and fauna more.
The Siamese twins.
I cannot see. I'm blinded by such beauty.
Gomez, Adam.
You terrible flirt.
Always was.
At least with me.
Copycat.
Tag along.
Why, Gomez? The Amora twins. I've heard so much about you.
Morticia,
you nabbed him. The starling man.
He was mine.
He was mine.
Flora, Fauna, how can I compete? You're twice the woman I am.
Tully, the Amora twins. They're waiting for Fester. Amuse them.
He thrusts Tully forward.
Hello, Tully.
Oh, my God.
Tully gapes at the twins. Waltzing, Margaret strokes Cousin It's hair tenderly. Later.
You mean you don't know? It's too intriguing. Now that Fester's back, he's king of the castle again, isn't he?
Fester's the older brother, so he gets it all. The house, the money, you name it.
Fester's still single, isn't he?
Are you Mr. Alford?
Why, Fauna?
I'm Fauna.
I'm Flora.
I'm flattered. Excuse me, ladies.
Tully leaves them. Upstairs, Mrs. Craven glowers. Gordon returns.
I can't find her anywhere. Let's just leave. At the back.
Now pull yourself together. She'll turn up, the little cockroach. You get to the party, or they'll suspect something. I'll be down soon.
Yes, Mother.
She slaps her knee warningly. Downstairs, Morticia escorts Gordon into the ballroom.
Everyone, your attention, please. Tonight we dance for our treasured guest of honor, Fester Adams.
Gordon manages a smile.
Mamushka! Taught to us by our Cossack cousins, the mamushka has been an Adams family tradition since God knows when. We danced the mamushka while Nido fiddled. We danced the mamushka at Waterloo. We danced the mamushka for Jack the Ripper. And now, Fester Adams, this mamushka is for you.
Gomez grabs his hand in a firm clasp. Guests surround them, tapping tambourines. Gomez and Fester walk in a circle, taking skipping steps. They stop, slap their thighs, then slap opposite hands. Grinning, Fester catches on. They bonk heads. Mrs. Craven joins Tully.
Where are you going? There's trouble.
Hey, not to worry. Plan B.
But that hideous little girl
I'm
knows...
in charge. 10 minutes, I'll be back.
Mrs. Craven frowns anxiously after him. Facing each other, Gordon and Gomez slap their own hips and chests, and then each other's cheeks. Gomez flips Gordon high into the air. He somersaults and lands on both feet. Nostrils flaring, Gomez tosses 2 knives, one at a time, to Gordon. They walk toward each other, sharpening their knives. They hop twice and spar briefly. Gomez spins around. They tap each other's cheeks with their knives. Each retreats a few steps. They juggle their knives between them, tossing faster and faster. Gordon flashes a dopey grin. Eyes bulging, Gomez tosses his knives to Gordon, then pulls a knife from his belt and hurls it into the air. It plummets toward Gordon. He catches it in his teeth, with the blade down his throat.
Mamushka! Mamushka! He comes with mamushka!
Gomez circles him. Gordon arches backward, the knife still down his throat. Gomez spins around.
I swear by Mommy and Adams, this detestable Fester's the...
He yanks out the knife.
Fester Adams!
Gordon beams.
So...
Locking elbows, they dance in a circle. Next door, Tully stands with Judge Womack.
What the hell's going on over there?
How would you like to be rid of the Adamses for good? I'm serious.
What can I do for you?
You are gonna love this.
Twisting her wedding ring, Margaret stands outside with Cousin It.
We've been married for almost 20 years. Sometimes it seems like more. Well, people grow, people change.
Cousin It leans affectionately against her shoulder.
Isn't it a beautiful night?
Now, Gordon's head is sandwiched between Flora's and Fauna's. They kiss him alternately.
You'll come see me before you leave, won't you, Fester? I'll call once I'm alone.
There's your ride, girls.
The twins turn and leave. Gordon gapes with delight. 2 attendants fit them into a double straitjacket. Gordon waves both hands. Now Margaret crouches at Cousin It's car.
You're a marvelous dancer. It's been such fun.
Cousin It drives away. Margaret waves eagerly.
Call me?
Mamushka, Mamushka.
Gordon dances upstairs, throwing up his arms and jumping from 1 foot to the other. He opens his bedroom door with a backward kick. Grinning, he dances over to Mrs. Craven, seated on his bed.
Gordon, stop it! This instant! Is that lipstick all over your face?
From the twins! The beauteous,
or more twins.
The twins? Gordon, I don't understand this. Let me get this clear. Have you been having a good time?
Yes, I have. It was marvelous. I sang up a storm and danced till I dropped. The Mamushka! The Mamushka!
As Gordon hops in a circle, Mrs. Craven sinks onto a chair and pouts.
Mother.
Mother? Mother, who is that? I don't think I recall.
Mother, please.
I'm just fine. I'm dandy. Don't concern yourself about me, Gordon. Please, return to your depraved orgy. Sometimes I think you're not even my son.
Don't say that.
I'm just your mother. You only owe me your entire existence on this planet. Please, Gordon, by all means, go sing, dance, date.
Oh, Mother, I'm so terribly sorry.
He falls face forward onto his bed. She ignores him.
It was just a party. It's over. It means nothing. The Siamese twins, the hunchback cousin, it. They're not you.
Say it, Gordon. Make me believe it.
I love you, and I want money.
We've got to find Tully.
Now Gomez lifts an enormous banquet dish cover. Pugsley sleeps on the platter.
Look, our little boy.
All tuckered out.
It's so sweet. Looks just like a little entree.
Where's the party?
It's over, darling. Have you seen your sister?
Not since before the Mamushka.
Gomez.
The graveyard.
Fan out. Pugsley, head for the dung heap. Mama and Morticia, the shallow graves. I'll take the abyss. Lurch, check out the bottomless pit. Fester.
Up here!
Fester, you take the ravine and the unmarked abandoned well.
Someone should stay behind in case he comes back.
Good man. Good thinking.
Then who'll take the swamp?
Thing scampers over and taps Gomez's shoe.
That's the spirit, Thing. Lend a hand. Let's go.
Gordon watches from an attic window as they scatter throughout the graveyard.
Gordon! Don't dawdle.
Clenching his shoulders, Gordon lumbers reluctantly after her. Now, in the library, Tully holds up The Sun Also Rises. A warm glow shines from the book's open pages onto his face.
What are you doing?
I'm relaxing. Taking a little sun.
Have you gone mad?
Au contraire.
Outside, Lurch lifts the front bumper of a car and peeks underneath. Pugsley creeps through misty woods. Morticia and Granny approach a cave.
Wednesday!
They peer inside. Thing hops from lily pad to lily pad as a murky brown swamp bubbles beneath. Gomez approaches an enormous pillared tomb. He touches the vulture statue. The mausoleum doors swing open. Inside, he finds Wednesday asleep on the stone slab. Tenderly, he reaches down and lifts her into his arms. Later, chain shut, gate shakes agitatedly. Police tape stretches across gate. A sign reads, Adams family, keep out. The stunned family approaches.
What is all this?
This is a restraining order.
A restraining order?
Yes. It requires you to keep a distance of 1,000 yards from this house.
I am restrained from my own house?
Not your house, Mustache. Not anymore. It belongs to the oldest living descendant, the elder brother, Fester Adams.
Fester adores Gomez.
Oh, no, he's afraid of him. Seeing the twins brought it all back. You're bitter rivals, Gomez.
I demand to speak with Fester.
Sorry, no can do. He's very hurt. Just leave.
Tully returns to the house.
But he isn't even Uncle Fester.
Gomez turns around slowly.
Have no fear. Justice shall prevail. The courts will decide. They say a man who represents himself has a fool for a client. Well, with God as my witness, I am that fool.
Therefore, it is with no small amount of personal satisfaction that I declare Fester Adams legal executor of the Adams estate and rightful owner of all possessions and properties contained therein, with one exception, Gomez Adams. I believe these are yours.
Judge Womack empties a bucket of Gomez's golf balls. Later, outside the house, Gomez slumps in the car, his eyes fixed in a despondent stare. Lurch brings a dead, slender tree over to the car, already loaded with suitcases. Shaking her head with sorrow, Granny hauls her pitch-stained cauldron to the car. Wednesday marches slowly from the house, hugging her headless doll. Pugsley follows, carrying a single suitcase. Morticia is last to leave, closing the door behind her. Eyes downcast, she holds a wiry brown plant in her arms. She walks slowly. Her black gown trails thick, spidery threads. Walking on two fingers, Thing pulls a red wagon piled with gloves and books about hands. From an upper window, Gordon peers down at the somber procession to the car. Lurt secures Granny's cauldron on the back of the rolls as Morticia climbs into the car. Gordon's lower lip trembles as he spies Thing trailing behind. Slowly, the loaded-down car rolls toward gate. It swings open. Nighttime. In the hidden chamber, Tully, Gordon, and Mrs. Craven stand beneath a canopy of hanging manacles. Each reaches for a different one. Three iron hands clamp down and yank them upward. Outside, they're ejected headfirst through the dump chutes.
You are doing this on purpose.
That's right, Mother. Isn't this fun?
I'll race you back.
Daytime in a cheap motel.
Yes, we've been forced from our home. Yes, we've been betrayed by those we trusted. But we are Adamses, and we will not submit. Who recalls the fable of the tortoise and the hare? Swift yet lazy little Cottontail and his slow but determined companion? What does this story teach us?
Kill the hare, skin it, boil it,
put the tortoise on the highway
during rush hour.
Yes, we will survive. Poison us, strangle us, break our bones, we will come back for more. And why?
Because we like it.
Because we're Adamses.
We're Adamses.
Later, the children sit at a lemonade stand outside the motel with vials of poison and a single lemon. Lurch approaches.
Here, Lurch, on the house.
Pugsley hands him a glass filled with smoke. Lurch sips, then breaks into a polite smile. His smile suddenly fades. His cheeks bulge out. A burst of fire surges from his mouth and chars a nearby statue. Now in an office.
So many homemakers re-entering the workforce. Your domestic skills can be very valuable. College?
Private tutors.
Major?
Spells and hexes.
Liberal arts. What about your husband? Is he currently employed?
He's going through a bad patch at the moment. But it's not his fault.
Of course not. What is he? A loafer? A hopeless layabout, a shiftless dreamer.
Not anymore.
The counselor manages a smile. The children wait listlessly at their stand. A Girl Scout approaches.
Is this made from real lemons?
Yes.
I only like all natural foods and beverages, organically grown, with no preservatives. Are you sure they're real lemons?
Yes.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'll buy a cup. If you buy a box of my delicious Girl Scout cookies. Do we have a deal?
Are they made from real Girl Scouts?
Pugsley glances amusedly at his sister. She stares evenly at the pigtailed girl. Pursing her lips, the Girl Scout marches away. Now in a classroom of young children.
And so the witch lured Hansel and Gretel into the candy house by promising them more sweets. And she told them to look in the oven. And she was about to push them in, when lo and behold, Hansel pushed the poor defenseless witch into the oven instead, where she was burned alive, writhing in agony. Now, boys and girls, what do you think that feels like?
Now, Thing skitters down a page of help wanted ads. He taps excitedly over an ad for Federal Express. Later, Thing races down an office hallway, towing his wagon stacked with FedEx packages. Workers stumble out of its way as it barrels past them, sending papers flying. From Thing's perspective, we witness a dizzying blur of legs, office chairs, and desks. With lightning speed, Thing hurls the packages into bins and onto desks. One package knocks the toupee off a balding man. Back at the motel, Gomez sits before the television, holding the remote control. Eyes glazed over, he clicks to a talk show.
Welcome to the show. Voodoo witch doctors here in the United States. Do they really exist, or is this just tabloid hooey? We'd love you to call in with your comments.
Now at the Adams Mansion.
After lunch, we'll try again.
Yes, Mother.
Hunched over, Gordon plays with his soup.
We'll find the money. Meanwhile, we have this little nest, quiet and cozy, without that dreadful family.
Yes, Mother.
So, you claim that your son was brainwashed by voodoo witch doctors and forced to recruit others. Let's take a call.
Hello, Sally.
Mr. Adams, please stop calling. We do not know where they meet. Let's take another call.
Gomez, why don't we go for a drive? The whole family.
A drive? And Miss Gilligan?
Dinner's gonna be late.
Here, boy. Here, boy.
Oh. Gomez munches numbly on some Fritos. Nighttime. Mrs. Craven walks out the Adams' front door.
Gordon? Gordon!
She spies Gordon pressed against gate, clutching it with both hands, staring glassy-eyed into the distance. His lower lip trembles sadly. In the motel, Morticia sits awake as Gomez sleeps against her shoulder. Her face glows with a blue pallor. She glances at her husband and strokes his forehead. She turns and sees Wednesday asleep on her back, her arms crossing her chest. Granny slumbers soundly beside the girl. Morticia's tender gaze roams over to Lurch, who lies on an uncovered box spring. Pugsley lies on his back, on Lurch, and Thing lies flat on Pugsley. Her gaze returns briefly to Gomez. Sighing deeply, her black eyes water, then narrow as she stares pensively into the distance. Later, Morticia leaves the hotel, sashaying gently as she walks into the night. Thing scampers after her. Tully opens the Adams' front door.
I would like to speak with Fester, please.
Chin raised, she marches past him. Thing skitters nervously outside. In the library, Tully and Gordon strap Morticia to a stretching device.
You're a desperate woman, consumed by greed and bitterness. We could have been such friends.
Gordon, let's get started.
But, Mother...
Stop stalling.
I'm not stalling. Stop battering me.
Outside, Thing leaps to a windowsill.
The vault, Mrs. Adams. Any thoughts?
None whatsoever.
Tully, take over. Tighten it.
But I got the stomach thing when I tortured you.
Do it.
Tully turns an iron wheel.
Again.
Tully shuts his eyes briefly, then uses more force. Gordon huddles in the corner. Trembling, Thing leaps down.
Tighter.
Tully closes his eyes.
You've done this before.
Now, a busy intersection. Thing scrambles down the shiny wet asphalt as a row of cars with blazing headlights close in behind. Without stopping, Thing charges into the middle of the intersection. Leaps back as a car nearly hits it. Quaking with fright, Thing flattens its palm against the pavement as a car barrels overhead. Thing leaps into the air and sticks out a hitchhiking thumb, only to get splashed. With a final lunge, Thing springs into the air and latches onto a car's rear bumper, nearly slipping off the metal as the car bounces. At the motel, Thing bolts on all five fingers toward the room. Gomez awakens.
Who is it? We're paid through Thursday.
Later, sign language.
Morticia. Morticia?
Morticia what? Slow down! It's terrible when you stutter!
Stopping its finger spelling, Thing grabs a pen with trembling fingers and tries to write. Frustrated, it tosses the pen and fumbles in a bowl of old cereal for a spoon.
Morticia! In danger! Stop! Send help at once! Stop!
In the library.
You can't! Not with red-hot pokers!
Is this gonna smell?
Tully Alford. Charlatan. Deadbeat. Parasite. How Gomez adored you.
Well, not enough.
Morticia. Please.
And dear Fester, which is the real you? The loathsome, underhanded monster you've become, or the loathsome, underhanded monster we came to love?
Don't ask me.
Outside, gate swings open. With Thing on his shoulder, Gomez arrives in the Rolls Royce. He glances at Thing, who points at the house. Gomez and Thing get out of the car. Morticia is now strapped to a huge metal wheel.
I know what you're feeling, Fester.
Gordon! Gordon, I have a thought, just a notion, top of my head. Tell me what you think. Since you and Mrs. Adams are so very close...
She holds out the poker.
Be my guest.
Gomez flips through the window.
Adams!
Cara mia!
Mon cher! Darling! Take care.
Dirty pool, old man. Never again.
Gomez swipes at Tully with his sword. Tully blocks with his own, then switches to the offensive and slashes Gomez's hand. The slash draws blood.
One for you, Tully. Now.
Eyes gleaming, Gomez whirls around, matching every blow. With an artful lunge, he grabs Tully's sword, then angles the two swords around Tully's neck like open scissors.
One for me.
Gomez, I'm on retainer.
Let him up.
Mrs. Craven aims a handgun at Gomez. He turns around and meets her fierce gaze. Tully kneels wide-eyed. Gomez eyes him with disdain and retracts the swords.
That's right. Now get moving, Adams.
Open-mouthed, Tully grins.
Take him to the vault. And if you're not back in 1 hour, I displace her.
Morticia swallows hard as Gomez approaches her. He leans close.
Tish, seeing you like this, my blood boils.
As does mine.
This wheel of pain.
Our wheel.
To live without you, only that would be torture.
A day alone. Only that would be death.
They lean in to kiss.
Knock it off. The vault, Adams. Right now.
Morticia's concerned gaze follows Gomez. He shoots her a smoldering glance and approaches the bookshelf. Gordon watches apprehensively.
Mother, can't we...
Can it, Gordon? Stop dragging your feet. You disgust me! You're nothing but a useless, sniveling baby. A stone around my neck. What was I thinking? I should have left you where I found you!
No tricks, Gomez. That's the wrong book.
Gordon's face trembles with anger. Gomez studies him with a perplexed gaze. Gordon smiles and removes a book titled Hurricane Irene.
Allow me.
Good show, old man.
They exchange a wink. Gordon spins around.
Put that book down, Gordon. You don't know what it can do.
Gordon prowls forward.
It's not just literature.
Oh, really?
He opens it for a flash.
Quickly, darling.
Gordon, I'm your friend. Think of the doubloons.
They're not yours, Tully. Back off.
Leather straps, red-hot pokers.
Later, my dearest.
Keep the book closed, Gordon. Listen to Mother.
I'll never listen to you. Never, ever again.
I had to be strict with you because I cared. Put it down.
You never really loved me.
Fester, this way!
Stop whining, you little good-for-nothing. Be a man.
You were a terrible mother. There! I said it!
He flings open the book. Fierce winds blast from its pages. The chandelier spins slowly overhead. A vortex of dust and papers whips them into the air. Gordon clings to the book, struggling to hold on. Lightning flares from its open pages. Tully, Mrs. Craven, Gordon, a rocking horse, and the bearskin rug whiz through the room, caught in the tornado. Gordon reaches for the book, only inches from his grasp. Tully and Mrs. Craven crash through the window and hurtle through the night air. Gripping the book, Gordon faces its open pages. A bolt of lightning lashes out and dances across his skull. He lands on his back and smiles. Tully and Mrs. Craven belly flop into two open caskets. The caskets shut and sink into their fresh graves. Holding shovels, the children stand at their headstones.
Are they dead?
Does it matter?
Fade to black. A caption appears, 7 months later. Halloween night. A group of young trick-or-treaters approaches the Adams Mansion. One, dressed as a punk rocker, knocks on the door.
Trick-or!
Lurch's smile fades as the children flee.
Here we come!
Pugsley, old man!
Why, look at you.
Pugsley is disguised as Fester. Wednesday remains the same.
How do you like it?
What can I say? He's gonna break hearts.
Trick or treat.
Margaret arrives with Cousin It.
Hello, Margaret. Cousin It, I almost didn't recognize you.
Isn't he handsome? Everyone keeps asking where he bought his costume.
It is a wonderful hat.
A cowboy hat.
What are you, darling? Where's your costume?
This is my costume. I'm a homicidal maniac. They look just like everyone else.
Later, Lurch stands at a canvas painting a portrait of Pugsley and Fester.
I'm so glad I can spend this night with my family, now that I've got my memory back.
Thank God for that lightning. Not so sense into you.
You remember, old man? Dr. Pindishloss really did find Fester tangled in a tuna net 25 years ago. With amnesia.
From the Bermuda Triangle.
How true. Stranger things have happened.
Please, Uncle Fester.
Pugsley.
For the picture.
Fester accepts a light bulb from Pugsley. As he puts it into his mouth, it glows.
All right, everybody. Time for a game. What shall it be? Bobbing for apples?
Charades?
Of course. Wake the dead.
Wake! The dead! Wake the dead! Out to the cemetery! Come on, everyone!
I've never played this before. How does it go?
Did you bring a shovel?
Uncle Fester, will you be on my team?
No, mine.
I tell you what, we'll give you a head start. Three skulls and a pelt. How's that?
Grinning widely, Fester turns to Gomez and Morticia.
My own dear brother.
They shake hands warmly. Fester flips him over on his back.
Come on!
We'll catch up.
Fester runs excitedly outside, carrying a shovel.
Wake the dead! Wake the dead!
Uncle Atlas, wake up!
The children tap the graves.
Come on, Aunt LaBorgia! Wake up!
No! Children! You have to dig! That's half the fun!
Fester digs into the earth and tosses a pile of dirt. Holding hands, Gomez and Morticia stand at the door. Gazing out at the graveyard, Gomez smiles contentedly.
Oh, Tish, what more could we ask?
Gomez.
She holds up a hand-knit baby's outfit with three legs. He gapes with astonishment. She smiles.
Cara mia, is it true?
Oui.
They draw each other into a deep, passionate kiss. He dips her gently backward. In the misty graveyard, the children dig energetically.
Wake up, Grandpa Adams. It's Halloween.
Children, look! Great Aunt Lavinia! She was beheaded by her own children!
Yay!
The children sprint toward Fester. Locked in a dramatic embrace, Morticia and Gomez linger in the doorway, kissing with abandon. A final glimpse of the Adams Mansion, aglow against a black sky and full moon. Fade to black. A message appears. The producer and director wish to gratefully acknowledge the consulting services and assistance of the Lady Colleton in the making of this film. This film has been described for blind and visually impaired audiences by Descriptive Video Service, WGBH Boston. Described by Nancy Baker. Descriptions read by Wendy Sacchichini. For a complete listing of DVS programs and services, call toll-free 1-800-333-1203. Credits roll. Cast. Angelica Houston as Morticia Adams. Raul Julia as Gomez Adams. Christopher Lloyd as Uncle Fester Adams. Dan Hedaya as Tully Alford. Elizabeth Wilson as Abigail Craven. Judith Molina as Granny. Carol Struiken as Lurch. Dana Ivey as Margaret Alford. Paul Benedict as Judge Womack. Christina Ricci as Wednesday Adams. Jimmy Workman as Pugsley Adams. Christopher Hart as Thing. John Franklin as Cousin It. Tony Azito as Digit Adams. Douglas Brian Martin as Dexter Adams. Stephen M. Martin as Donald Adams. Allegra Kent as Cousin Ophelia Adams. Richard Cortez as Slosh Adams. Ryan Holohan as Lumpy Adams. Maureen Sue Levin as Flora Amore. Darlene Levin as Fauna Amore. Kate McGregor Stewart as Employment Agent. Leela Ivey as Susan Firkins. Whitby Hertford as Little Tully. Patty Maloney as Lois Adams. Victoria Hall as Swedish Blonde. Jimmy Ross as Preteen Gomez. Ruan Anderson as Preteen Fester. Daniel Pikus as Teenage Gomez. Michael Hittesdorf as Teenage Fester. Lauren Walker as Teenage Flora. Valerie Walker as Teenage Fauna. Mercedes McNabb as Girl Scout. Joe Zimmerman as Long Arm Adams. Steve Wells as Fingers Adams. Eugene Jackson as One-Armed Bass Player. Richard Tanner as Snake Charmer. Mark Shaman as Conductor. Jugglers, The Passing Zone, Jonathan Wee and Owen Morse. Stunts, Randy Kovitz, Keith Campbell, Mary Peters, Danny Rogers and David Welch. Puppeteers, Jay Usterman, Eric Fiedler, Bruce Fuller, Jim McPherson, Diana Smith, William Sturgeon, Tommy Williamson Jr., John Robles, David Penicus. Special appearance by Sally Jesse Raphael. Unit Production Manager Jack Cummins, First Assistant Director Joe Camp III, Second Assistant Director Ian Foster Wolf, Visual Effects Supervisor Alan Munro, Additional Photography Gail Tattersall, Choreographer Peter Anastos, Visual Effects Co-Supervisor Chuck Comiskey, Property Master Robin Miller, Stunt Coordinator David Ellis, Supervising Sound Editor Cecilia Hall, MPSE, Sound Mixer Peter F. Kurland, Re-recording mixers Greg Landeker, Gary Summers, and Michael Minkler. Fencing choreographer B.H. Barry. Makeup design Fern Buckner. Hair design Anthony Cortino. Wigs Paul Hundley. Casting associate Deborah Zane. Extras casting Charlie Messenger. Art director Marjorie Stone McShirley. Associate producers Bonnie Arnold and Paul Rosenberg. Set director Sherial Kearney. Assistant art directors Aaron Cummins and Paul Sonsky. Special Effects Coordinator Chuck Gaspar. Special Effects Forepersons Mike Edmondson and Peter H. Albiez. Script Supervisor Tom Johnston. First Assistant Film Editor Karen Rash. Assistant Film Editors Gordon Antel, Grace Valenti, and Bruce Johnson. Apprentice Film Editors Heather Persons and Gladys Vega. Camera Operators Rob Hahn, Todd Henry, Robert Labange, and Chris Squires. First Assistant Photographers Ian M. Fox and Michael Chavez. Second Assistant Photographers David Luckenbach and Mark R. Streepy. Film Loader Rebecca Baylor. Still Photographer Melinda Sue Gordon. Publicist Vic Hoitschke. Assistant Choreographer Victoria Hall. Dance Music Arranger Peter Golub. Boom Operator Steve Bowerman. Cable Person Jean Marie Carroll. Video Assistant Rick Scarponi. Co-Supervising Sound Editor Gary Wright. Sound Effects Editors Joseph A. Ippolito, Trevor Jolly, Howard Gibbons, MPSE. Marshall Wynn, Beth Sterner, John Benson, Steve Mann. Dialogue Editors Bob O'Brien, Constance A. Kazmer, Allison Fisher, and Gloria D'Alessandrio. Supervising Foley Editor Pamela Bentowski. Foley Editors Christine Danelski and Fred Burke. Supervising ADR Editor Juno J. Ellis, MPSE. ADR Editors Denise Horta and Nicholas V. Korda. Foley Mixers, Greg Curta and James Ashwell. Foley Artists, Ken Dufa, David Lee Fain, Kevin Bartnoff, and John Roche. ADR Recordist, Bob Barron. Voice Casting, Barbara Harris. Assistant Sound Editors, Ann Kauk, Thomas W. Small, Craig Sims, and Robert Hyams. Apprentice Sound Editors, Paul O'Brien and Jonathan Phillips. Additional Sound Effects created by John P. Faisal, John Papasil, and Frank Serafine. recordist Mark Frito Long, re-recorded at Skywalker Sound. Music editor George A. Martin. Music score produced by Mark Shaman and Hummy Mann. Orchestra conducted by Hummy Mann. Orchestrations by Mark McKenzie. Additional orchestrations by Steve Bartek, Ralph Burns, Dennis Draith, Jack Eskew, and Tom Sharp. Orchestra contractor Sandy DeCrescent. Music preparation Bob Bornstein. Music scoring mixer Tim Boyle. Music score recorded at Warner Brothers Studios facilities. Costume supervisor Linda A. Matthews. Costumers Linda Hendrickson, Mitchell Kenny, Robin Borman, Murray Lance, Bill Campbell, Cutter Fitter, Carmen C. Mazzaro, makeup artists Catherine James and Kevin C. Haney, hairstylist Christopher C. Shahar, second assistant directors Joseph Brad Kluge and Michael Ryan Baxter, additional sound assistant director Zia M. Pietro, key production assistant Brian W. Jokum, assistant property master Michael Gastaldo, property person Greg R. Benj, production coordinator Sharon Morov, assistant production coordinators Mark Waldy, Vanessa G. Bardleving, and Judy McKee. Production secretary Allison A. Milliken. Assistants to Mr. Rudin, Ian York, Douglas R. Boyle, and Lee Dollar. Assistants to Mr. Sonnenfeld, Karen M. Murphy, and Karen S. Spiegel. Assistant to Miss Houston, Molly Shaw Gibbs. Location managers Antoinette Levine and John Panzarella. Assistant location manager Cheryl Meyer. Production accountant Joe Aguilar. Assistant production accountants Stephanie Claxton, David Hickey, Catherine M. Jones, and Robert C. Campion. Lead person Casey Hallenbeck. Set dressers Tamara Clanade, Randy Bostick, and Steve C. Husk. Set designers Nancy Mickleberry, Beverly Egan, and Lawrence Hobbs. Scenic artists John Stewart and Ronald Gress. Storyboard artist J. Todd Anderson. Chief lighting design technicians Gary Holt and Randy Glass. Assistant Chief Lighting Design Technicians, Robert Kratiger and Donald Nesmith. Chief Rigging Lighting Technician, Paul Jacobson. First Company Grips, Tim Ryan and Peter Wagner. Second Company Grips, Carl R. Gibson Jr. and Ronald Viveros. Dolly Grips, David Merrill and Michael Liakos. Construction Coordinator, Walton D. Hadfield. Construction Foreperson, James F. Walker. Transportation Coordinator, David Siegel. Transportation Captain Dwight Wood, Paint Foreperson John Tyrell, Greens Foreperson Hugo Herrera, Cranes and Dolly by Chapman, Production Painters Nicholas C. John, Security Bruce Loeb, First Aid Hank McGill, Color Timer Bob Putenkowski, Negative Cutting Donna Bassett, Dolby Stereo Consultant Steve F.B. Smith, Titles and Optical Effects by Cinema Research Corporation, Main Title Design by Pablo Ferro and Alan Ferro, Visual Effects Unit, Optical Composites, Visual Concepts Engineering, and Pete Curran. Animation Effects, Kevin Kutchever, Al Magg and Pam Vick. Photographic Effects, Paul Gentry, Bill Connor, and Gary George. Visual Effects Editorial, Joe Martin and Tracy Singleton. Optical Effects Lineup, Dave Emerson, Brian Griffin, Tim Segulin, and George Lockwood. Optical Printing, Todd Hall, Rick Hannigan, David Tucker, and Gary Martin. VCE Administration, Jacqueline Zeitlow and Marilyn Nave. Visual Effects Primary Production Illustrator, Mentor Hubner. Storyboards, Ron Harris. Coordinator, Jessica Hubner. Continuity, Janine Bronz. Key Assistant, Thomas Burke. Production Assistants, Fred E.O. Toy and Rick Schaff. Special Makeup, Louis Lazara. Directors of Photography, Chris Nibley. Bill Pope, Bert Dunk, and Jim O'Parrell. Camera assistants Luke McNair, Gregor Tavener, and Steve Mann. Chief lighting technicians John C. Rogers, Mike Strump, and David Gerrell. First Company Grips William T. Manning and Scott Judge. Special prosthetics and mechanical devices Alterian Studios Incorporated, Tony Gardner. Thing prosthetics and puppets David Miller Studios, David Miller. Model train crash Ron Thornton effects. Mad Art Composites Illusion Arts, Bid Taylor, Sid Dutton. The Addams Groove, music by Hammer Pilot, lyric by Hammer, includes the Addams Family theme by Vic Mizzi, performed by Hammer. Too Legit to Quit, music by Hammer, pilot Early Kelly Burrell. Music by Hammer, performed by Hammer. This Is the Way We Roll, music by Hammer Pilot, lyric by Hammer, performed by Hammer. Burn It Up, music by Hammer Pilot, lyric by Hammer, performed by Hammer. Hammer's album, Too Legit to Quit, and score album, available on Capitol CDs, cassettes, and records. The Addams Family Theme by Vic Mizzi. Mamushka, music by Mark Shaman. Lyric by Betty Comden and Adolph Green. Carol of the Bells by M. Leontovich and Peter J. Wilhoski. Deck the Halls arrangement, the Fa-la-la song by Nick D'Amico, performed by the Caroling Company. Playmates by Saxie Dowell, performed by the Kipper Kids. O Sole Mio by Eduardo Di Capua, Giovanni Capuro, and Alfredo Mazzucchi, performed by Beniamino Gigli, courtesy of Angel EMI, a division of Capitol Records, Inc., by arrangement with SEMA Special Markets. The Mooch by Duke Ellington and Irving Mills. Getting to Know You by Richard Rodgers and Oscar Hammerstein II. La Folia, arranged and performed by Carol Koenig, courtesy of Music on the Hammer Dulcimer. Sally Jesse Raphael by Dan Radlauer. Trademark and Copyright 1991 by Paramount Pictures Corporation, all rights reserved. Special thanks to Bill Bernstein, Mark Platt, Ron Lynch, William Sherrick, and Susan Ringo. Production Placement Services, Rogers & Cowan, Incorporated. Sally Jesse Raphael excerpts furnished courtesy of Multimedia Entertainment, Incorporated. Filmed at Hollywood Center Studios, Hollywood, California. Processing by Deluxe. Prints by Technicolor. Filmed with Panavision cameras and lenses. Dolby Stereo in selected theaters. Motion Picture Association of America number 30985. This picture made under the jurisdiction of IATSE, affiliated with AFL-CIO-CLC. The persons and events in this motion picture are fictitious. Any similarity to actual persons or events is unintentional. This motion picture is protected under the laws of the United States and other countries. Unauthorized duplication, distribution, or exhibition may result in civil liability and criminal prosecution. The star-circled mountain logo appears. Paramount, a Paramount Communications company.